In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In this lecture, the second in our series, we're addressing one of the things that can keep us away from God, and that is the concept of stress. Now, we're all under one kind of stress or another, and we're all victims one kind of stress or another. Because the way things work is that life has become competitive, life has become demanding, life has become very difficult, and all of this adds onto what is expected for each and every one of us. Now, before we discuss stress, I think one of the easiest things to do, and things that make most sense, is try to figure out what stress is. And there is nowhere better to go than the dictionary. So the Oxford Dictionary defines stress as pressure or tension placed on a material object. Now, that doesn't suit us. So that might help later on, just keep that one in mind. Pressure or stress placed on a material object. But put that aside for now. A better definition is a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or demanding circumstances. Okay? Basically, strain or tension because of demanding circumstances or adverse circumstances, something in our lives. And what then causes that stress or strain? What causes us to become in this state of mind, this state of stress, this state of tension? And I will put it to you that what does cause this stress, as defined here, is one very simple word, and that is expectation. Expectation many different ways. There is expectation from others. We're talking about others who are just others who we deal with. And one fashionable term now is significant others, people who mean something to us, or those who are close to us, loved ones, families, or expectations from God Himself, or even expectations from ourselves. And these expectations go in two ways. They are expectations that I have of people, or expectations that I feel people have of me. Does that sum it up? That, I think if you look at any stressful situation that you will come into, it has to fall into one of these categories somewhere. Either someone's let me down, I've let myself down, I felt God has let me down, I feel I've let God down, I feel I've let somebody else down. And it's within that realm somewhere. The reason that I was saying to you, keep that first definition in mind, was very simply, and I'll remind you of that definition, it was that it is pressure or tension placed on a material object. Now we take that concept of pressure or tension on a material object, meaning that when this pressure is on me, I feel it. And I don't know what to do with it. I feel it and I become subject to it. And my reaction then, we'll discuss later on. My reaction is either going to be positive, negative, or sometimes very neutral. But they all have their benefits and they all have very significant losses at times. Now, when we look at who we are in the scheme of things. We find that our own perception of ourselves becomes one of the greatest sources of stress and pressure. In the eyes of people, who am I? Who should I be? How should I act? What should I say? What shouldn't I say? What model do I want to fit into? Because unfortunately, although we all proclaim that we are individuals, you'll find within society, we all fit into one particular kind of mold or another. And those who proclaim most that they are individuals and not subject to system are the ones who fit most into the most rigid of molds. Because their particular mold is to be rebellious. Rebellious against people around them, against institutions, against God himself. Sometimes rebelling against the very feelings that they have inside them and going against all those. So who do we see ourselves as being? We are many things to many people. But we are one thing to everyone. This sounds very philosophical, doesn't it? Anyone to study philosophy? Anyone study philosophy here? No? Well, the idea of philosophy, I think, people got together back in ancient Greece and ancient Rome and said, let us confuse these people so they have no idea what we're talking about. And the more confusing we are, the more intelligent I think we're going to be. Because if they can't understand it, then it must be right. So, did anyone pick up any of that? That's philosophy. Alright, so we are many things to many people, but again, we are one thing to everyone. What are those many things? We are sons, daughters, brothers, sisters. We are potentially in relationships, spouse, husband, wife. We are people in the workplace. We are people who have support. We are friends, we are acquaintances. We are those who serve others. We are those who are served by others. And we fit in those particular categories. And it becomes very confusing to fit myself into that. How should I be in this situation? How should I act in this situation? And you'll find one of the greatest forms of stress is, how do I act now? What do I do? And you'll find this particularly shows up when you are, and maybe applies to people who are slightly younger, but it demonstrates the point. When you are trying to introduce someone from one part of your life into another part of your life. So let's say a friend of yours from school goes to church with you, or someone from church is introduced to your family, or someone from your family goes into another position. And why is that? Because suddenly you find yourself having to reconcile two very different parts of life that usually aren't reconcilable. Because the way I act outside is different to the way I act in here. The way I act at school is different to the way I act at church, different to the way I act at home. And this puts an immense pressure on us. You will find people who will keep these parts of their life very, very distinct and separate, because then they can afford to be different people at different times. And this is an immense source of pressure. But how is it that I overcome this pressure? How is it that I can act in a way that doesn't subject me to this stress, the stress of reconciling? And that is being one person to all. And you think, how can I do that? How can I possibly be one person? How can I be a person to my friends at college, and the same person with my friends at church, same person at home? That quite simply is by being, as we said, the one person for all. And that is the image and likeness of God. That's who we are. St. Paul was a Roman to the Romans, a Gentile to the Gentiles, a Jew to the Jews. But he was always the minister, the ambassador, the apostle. He didn't change that. He may have changed his language a little bit, or his approach a little bit, but his person was always the same. So one of the greatest ways of alleviating stress in our lives is to be one person. One person. Because when you are one person, you suddenly have all of these expectations being the same. Because you don't have to keep changing hats and changing masks and changing images from one group to another. You don't have to be speaking in one way with one group and then moving to another group and have to change your language. Or be asked your opinion in one group and walk into another group and have to change that opinion. And as extreme as what I am saying sounds right now, it is true, isn't it? It's true that in many things, we are not one person. And this places an immense amount of stress. When people see me as one person, then they expect one thing from me. I'm not going to be expected to use inappropriate language with my friends while I'm expected to use appropriate language in my church and respectful language in my home and so on and so forth. I'm not going to have to keep changing things, because what I will do is be using the same sort of language, same kind of language all the time, the same kind of thought all the time, the same priorities all the time. And in God's eyes, I am always the same person. But my image, as I see myself in God's eyes, sometimes changes. Because I will be in a situation that I know does not please God, and goes against everything I could possibly stand for, and everything God wants me to do, and I will act against that. And suddenly I will feel stressed, because I will feel that I'm being a different person. I feel that I'm being unfaithful. I feel that I'm being irresponsible. I feel that I'm being dishonest. And that creates a huge amount of stress. Because there is no time that we are more stress-free than when we are in harmony with God. We feel good about ourselves. We feel good about ourselves in His eyes. We feel good about ourselves in other people's eyes. Because when we sin, we feel as well that we are so distant. This form of stress is then translated into many things. And you might wonder why I'm placing so much emphasis on this point. Because there's a lot of material in your handout, and you can go through that. But the main issue in relieving stress is to go back to our intended nature. Because we are not, if we look at this dictionary definition again, about pressure and tension placed on material objects, we are not created as material objects. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are created as the temple of God and the temple of His Spirit. We are created as those who only live with God. And so when that pressure, when that tension, when that force or that stress comes, it doesn't just come upon me. It comes upon him who is with me and who supports me. And no pressure is too much for God. So rather than me having to cope with that pressure on my own, I will find that He carries it with me. He carries that pressure. And I have the expectation of me, of Him, and He leads up to it. We look at the story of Joseph. Joseph lived under an immense amount of pressure. Whether it be the time when he was thrown into the well by his brothers, which as a child he probably didn't really understand. And then when he went and he was sold as a servant after he was the favored son, and he probably didn't understand that either. And then he was wrongly accused by his master's wife. Then he was thrown to jail. Then he was forgotten by those whom he helped. And we find that all of this must have put an immense amount of stress on him. So how did he cope with it? How did he deal with it? In each and every one of those situations, he remained the same Joseph. He remained the same Joseph, with the same character, with the same love, with the same faithfulness. And he always called upon God, and God was always there for him. If these are the sources of stress, these expectations of me, expectations of others, how do I deal with them? How do I cope with them? I revert to my natural state, and that is being with God. Now, because of the free will He has placed in me and created in me, therefore, I am expected to want Him in my life first. He's not going to impose Himself. He's not going to suddenly jump in and override my freedom and pull me out of the snatches of Satan and pull him away from stress. Because, believe it or not, maybe we like to be there sometimes. We like to be in Satan's grip sometimes. We like to be defeated sometimes, and it makes no sense to me either. But we do it. We know that when we sin, we are in a weakened state, yet we will gladly accept sin and gladly accept the stress that comes with it. And do nothing about it. So unless we show God that we want something, then He cannot jump in because He will not override our free will. And He makes a very clear promise in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think that includes stress. Whether it's stress that comes from study or work or people's expectations, or family, or friends, or society, any of those things. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there a clearer promise than that? It's there, straight in front of us. But we have to go to Him. And our Lord's very clear. And He says quite honestly to us, return to me, and I will what? Return to you. Because you're the ones that went away from me. You are the ones who walked away and placed yourself into the snatches of Satan, placed yourself under the forces of stress, and you have distanced yourself from me. So please return to me. Just show me. Give me an indication. If you want me to relieve that stress that is on you, if you want me to give you peace, the peace that only I can give you, the peace that only comes from me, the peace that this world cannot give you, The peace that he promised to his disciples. And he delivered. And it made the world of difference to them. Because once they received this peace, they went out and they ministered and they served and they proclaimed. And they spread his word everywhere. So the only way he can give us that peace is if we go to him. But our Lord understands us. Because again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 40, when he says in the previous verse, search the scriptures, for in them you will find life, and he says to us, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. And that could quite simply apply to stress. You are not willing to come to me that you may receive peace. You're not willing to come to me that I may relieve that stress off you. Take that burden off your shoulders. That I can help you and support you. I want to. My arms are outstretched. I stand waiting for you. I have stood here waiting for you ever since I can remember. I don't want to see you stressed. I don't want to see you in this internal conflict. I don't want to see you not knowing who you are. I don't want to see you going against everything you stand for and living against the image I gave you. Come to me. I will give you rest. Come to me. I will give you life. Come to me. I will give you peace. Why do we love God? The very basic reason is that he loved us first. It's very simple. He loved us first. And because he loves us, and because we feel it so much, and because we experience it sometimes, we want to keep expressing, we want to keep experiencing it. And because he loved us first, he will give us abundantly. As we were saying yesterday, he left his kingdom for us. He left his throne for us. He came down and took our form just for us. But we must be confident that he can relieve this stress. Because you know what we do, don't you? We will always try to relieve the stress of ourselves. And we'll always try to do it in every way possible. And it's one of these vicious cycles, because the more we try to relieve some kinds of stress, the more stressed we become. And it just goes on and on and on. Why? Because nothing's changed. If we go back to the point of expectation, I have expectations of myself, or people have expectations of me, or I feel God has expectations of me. So I will, because of my sinful nature, sometimes go against those. So I try to pick up. When I try to pick up, I can't, because I've fallen a bit. And I feel people's expectations are greater. So I become more disturbed, more stressed. So I try to make more of an effort. And it keeps going down and down and down. And I find that no matter what effort I do, it's not in my hands sometimes. Sometimes I can't take that stress off myself. It takes him. It takes him who says, come to me, all of you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me, I will take that load and that stress off you. The Gospel of the St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. There's one particular point of faith there that we must really look at. And that is where he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, there are many things that happen in our lives that we don't understand, and they also will go against expectations. I expect that in this situation, God will do this for me. I expect that in this situation, this person will do this for me. And when it doesn't happen, I suddenly become very stressed. So, how do I relieve this? I relieve it by knowing that God, because of His abundant love, is never ever going to leave me wanting or needing. The God of Joseph is the God of Job, is the God of Abraham, who was placed in the most horrific, stressful situation of being called to sacrifice his son, is the God of Moses, who was called to take a whole nation away from their oppressors. That same God is my God and yours. He who was able to relieve all of that stress on all of those people at exactly the right time is able to relieve any stress we have in our lives. We just need to go back to ourselves and live as ourselves. We need to live as the children of God who are focused on Him. Remember the flashing lights from yesterday? We get so distracted by those flashing lights that we forget where we are really. Our Lord, when He was praying for His disciples, said, Father, the world has hated them because they are not of the world. They are in the world, but not of the world. We are all in the world, but not of it. We live in this world, but we only live here for a temporary period because we're moving on to where we belong, a better place, the kingdom of God. And quite often that stress will come by us trying to live as citizens of a world in which we are only visitors. And I think, well, why can't I fit? When I try to do the right thing, why can't I fit? Why is this so stressful? Why aren't people dealing according to what this Bible says we should deal with? Why aren't I dealing according to the Bible? Quite simply because this is not our world. This is not our life. This is not where we belong. This is what we're traveling through. And we deal with it in that situation. If you have a long lost uncle who has a castle somewhere, and you've inherited this castle, the ultimate in luxury. But to get there, it's a long, long way. So, you being the person who is used to so much luxury in your life, have to travel this way. And because it's so far, you have to use a caravan or a motorhome for the journey. Now, if you try to live in this motorhome as if it's home, you're going to be very frustrated. It's confined, it's basic, it's limited, it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's not even clean. But for the whole time where you are there, you're thinking, okay, this is just a journey, it'll take a couple of days, I'll be at the castle, I'll live luxuriously there, it'll be prepared, I know it's ready for me. Right? But if we try to live in this caravan as a home, we'd be very stressed. I can't breathe, I can't think, I can't do anything, I'm confined, it's like a prison. our lives in this world become that little motorhome, that little caravan, where we are sometimes trying to make it into our ultimate home, and it just doesn't fit. There's nowhere to hang the pictures. There's nowhere to light a fireplace. There's nowhere to have your luxury. Why? Because it's only intended to be a journey. And we become so stressed. Why are you stressed? This isn't where you belong. This isn't your home. This is a vehicle you are using to get from point A to point B. Point B being that castle that you are so looking forward to living in. And so if we have our eyes focused on that castle all the time, it will relieve much of the stress in which we find ourselves, and in which we find ourselves in dealing with people. First Epistle of St. John, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked him. Do we have that confidence? Do we have that confidence in him? Do we come out when we're in this stressful situation asking for something? Do we have a confidence that just because we've asked, we will receive? Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. And this is the ultimate test, maybe not ever. But if it is his will, then that's what we seek to seek. There are many things outlined in your handbook. You have the action-oriented response. You have the emotionally oriented response. You have the acceptance oriented response. Now, me trying to do it by my arm and thinking, hey, I can't do this. Or me getting really flustered about it or upset about it, thinking, well, that doesn't make any difference anyway. Or just sitting back and saying, well, it's really out of my hands. I'm not going to let it stress me. I'm not going to let it allow my peace to go from me. What I will do as the Son of God or the daughter of God is to well and truly place it into his hands and let him deal with it. Now, this does not mean that I become a negative person in my life. We need to be proactive. We need to be positive in our life. We need to do things. So when I'm saying to you, leave it in God's hands, it's not an excuse for you to do nothing. It's not, as Marx was saying it, issuing this opium that is supposed to drug people out because, well, then they just don't have to think anymore. But this is really a positive step, and it is the most positive step. Being able to take my life with its stresses, with its pressures, with its expectations, and take it willingly and just place it into God's hand and ask him to deal with it and ask him to relieve the stresses that I have, we will find that life is just so much better living that way. Not because we're avoiding things, not because we're running away from responsibility, but because it is in more capable hands. Do you think Joseph didn't have stresses? Do you think Moses didn't have stresses? Do you think David didn't have stresses? Do you think the apostles didn't have stresses? The disciples, the saints, the martyrs, they all had stress. But the difference between us and them is that when we have stress, we try to take things into our own hands and do things ourselves. And then suddenly we think, hey, I'm sorry, God, I didn't realize. I didn't notice. I'm sorry, this isn't in my hands. I can't do anything. I'm sorry I've been so stressed, but please accept me, because you said return to me and I'll return to you. You said, come to me if you are heavy laden and laboring. You have said, come to me and you'll find life. You said, come to me and you'll have peace. So I'm coming to you now. I'm taking all of these things. I'm putting them into your hands. Take my study into your hands. Take my work. Take my family. Take my home. Take my social pressures. Take everything. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep doing things. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the expectations in your hands. And because they are competent, strong hands, I know that you will take those and you will do with them as you will. And I trust your will because I love you and I know your love for me. And that's what it takes. People say to you, that's a cop-out. People say to you, that's avoidance. People say to you that that is a retreating. It's not. Because that takes more guts than anything else. Who has, as a driver, tried to put themselves at the hands of somebody else who's driving next to them? So you're driving and suddenly you get into a car and somebody else is behind the wheel. Isn't that slightly nerve-wracking? What's easier sometimes is for you to just to get behind the wheel and drive yourself. But sometimes to sit in the passenger seat, and no matter how competent the driver is, you will feel nervous because you keep hitting the brakes. So looking for the brakes down there, and you'll knock a hole in the bottom of your car by the time the journey is finished. But you'll always be wanting to take control. What takes incredible guts is for you to sit there and say, okay, you drive. That's precisely what we do with God. We sit there, and God is a much more competent driver in our lives than we are. He probably doesn't have points on his license. Probably hasn't got any speeding fines. None of you either, I suppose. Because you're all law-abiding, wonderful young people. If the guys are snickering. God is much more competent. And so we place ourselves into his hands and we say, God, take the wheel. I just want to go this journey. I know you'll know the route best. I know you will guide me in the best way. Take me down the best path. Take the wheel. And that takes so much confidence in him. That is not avoidance. It is not retreat. It is not a running away. This is how it should be. If we want to avoid stress, we need to remember one verse only. One verse. And this applies to your studies and their associated stress, your families and their associated stress, your work and its associated stress, the world and its associated stress. And it is one very short verse, simple verse. Reassuring words in St. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. We need to have confidence in those words, knowing that God is able to take control of our lives, knowing that we are not the inanimate material objects upon which pressure and tension is placed, because we are not objects. We are the creation, image, and likeness of God. If you put that object there and put pressure on it, it will crack. But as the image of God, when the pressure comes down and he picks us up so smoothly with his hand and takes it out of his way, or as he did with Job, he will say to Satan, test him, but these are your limits. Don't go down any further past this. And his protecting hand will be over us. And in that case, he is our God. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will take away all stress. He will give us life. He will give us peace. He will give us comfort. And He will give us reassurance in His continued love and His continued words and in His life-giving blood, and His strong hands will always protect us. And glory be to God forever. Amen.